Hello, everyone. I'm Drew.
I'm Bailey.
Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hello.
So monotoned.
Sorry.
You don't seem happy.
Bailey, your battery is less than 20%
plugged
into a charger so your session doesn't cut off.
Oh my god. It's fucked up. Why is it putting my shit on blast?
It just doesn't want you to get cut off.
I don't appreciate it, yelling like that. Charging.
So, I had so much fun last week where I wrote up the case and made Lacey read it, that I did it again. This one does not have any dead children in it, so you're welcome.
Thanks. And that's a plus.
Going forward, if we continue doing this, which I am a big fan of it, but if we do continue doing it, I will give you plenty of trigger warnings. Okay.
Thanks.
Before we get started, I just want to say, go Birds and go Phils. We're gonna have another wonderful Red October, so that's very exciting.
Woo!
We don't have time for the whole song.
It's not a long song.
Down 1, 2, 3.
We don't have enough time for the whole song. All right, Lacey, can you talk real quick? You sound quiet, and I don't know if you're whispering or not.
Yeah,
I mean, she's whispering now.
Okay, well, stop it.
Well, it wasn't my turn yet.
Oh, well.
She's so polite.
The first sentence, Lacey, is like a little. I just added it because I wanted to remember to talk about it. If you want to read that out real quick.
We talked about the Murdoch murders. Alex, the Murdaugh family. There's a new miniseries coming out on Hulu in October called Murdaugh, Death in the Family. Brittany Snow is in it.
I saw that.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm interested.
Speaking of Brittany Snow, have either of you watched Hunting Wives?
No.
No.
It's Netflix's new series. It's pretty binge-worthy.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it.
Okay.
But... yeah, it's pretty good. Brittany Snow's in it.
There's a show on Hulu that its second season is coming out, and I keep trying to get Lacey to watch it. It's called English Teacher.
She does keep trying.
Yeah, the one teacher.
Never remember.
Not like the main character, but his best friend reminds me of what Lacey is like at school. In my head, because I've never... been at school with Lacey
in my room
where she's a teacher.
Abbott Elementary is also pretty good as well.
Yeah, I made her watch the first episode hoping to get her hooked, and she just dropped the ball.
I like it. I've watched more since then.
I'm trying to relate to you, Lacey. I know there's very little that I know about you because, spoiler alert, we've only known each other for a few minutes. But I know that you're a teacher, so I'm just going to keep recommending shows about teachers.
Thank you.
Bad Teacher is a really good movie.
Yeah, but I feel like he won't relate to that one as much as she would relate
to me.
Yeah, and even though Abbott Elementary is funny, Abbott Elementary is funny, that's an elementary school, and that's not like Lacey's class, whereas English teacher is teaching high schoolers, and I really think that she would watch it and be like, that is something my kids would do, and it would just, I think she'd enjoy it.
School of Rock could also maybe relate to.
In the first episode of English Teacher, I feel like maybe I did watch the first episode when you told me, is the gym teacher like funny?
Yes.
Is there a gym teacher? Okay.
Is the gym teacher funny? Yeah, his name's Marky, and he's funny.
I think I did watch.
I also, I don't want to just, like, blanket statement anything, but I feel like every gym teacher is funny. Yeah. You know?
That's fair.
Like, they have that type of personality.
I think going forward, I might just make Lacey read all my cases, because I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to have my mic on. I'm going to mute it now.
Okay. We're going to dive in.
AP Bio, I think I've seen clips for, and I'm pretty sure it looks funny.
I want it. It got canceled, but I loved AP Bio. I want to support the people from It's Always Sunny when they branch out. I feel like Rob Mack is doing really well. He's bought a football team. Charlie Kelly is in movies. He's doing well. Caitlin Olson was in a show called The Mick, but that got canceled. And so now
she has a new show
called High Potential. And the second season is coming out.
Second season's coming.
I'm very excited about that. Very glad it's coming back. Because, again, I want her to succeed. I know that she's married to Rob Mack, so, like, she can ride his coattails. But she is a very funny female, and I would like her to succeed on her own.
I did watch that. I watched the first season of High Potential and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. And then Glenn Howerton. He had AP Bio, and it got canceled, and now I'm just worried about Glenn.
Glenn, if you're listening, Drew's worried about you.
And Danny DeVito, I'm not concerned about
him. She wants to see you succeed. Danny DeVito's fine.
Yeah, he's gonna be okay.
He's chilling. Like, he's had an amazing career. Yeah. Matilda, wasn't he the Penguin and one of the Batmans? Like, he's fine.
He was good before Sunny.
Hercules,
he's
just still
Do you know why he came onto the show?
I don't.
Because he wanted to?
No, so season one, he was not on the show, and season one was not doing well. So the producers were like, you need to get somebody who is notary. Who people know. So that they'll start watching your show. So they got Danny DeVito.
To work.
All right.
Tell us about the case, Lacey.
At around 8:40 p.m. on February 21st, 1977, the Chicago Fire Department responded to the apartment building at 2740 North Pine Grove Avenue after receiving several calls from residents reporting they smelled smoke. Upon arriving at the building, firefighters were able to locate the source of the smell, a fire burning in apartment 15B. Inside the apartment, firefighters discovered a mattress on fire in the middle of the bedroom. After extinguishing the flames, firefighters made another discovery. The mattress was charred and smoking, but was lying slanted on the floor. It was on top of something. The firefighters lifted the mattress and found the nude body of Teresita Bassa. Teresita was in her late 40s, lying prone with her legs spread, and had been stabbed with a butcher knife still protruding from her chest. Did whoever did this think that putting the mattress on top of her on fire would hide the knife sticking out of her chest? Did they assume it would completely annihilate her body and there would be...
I think that
that's what I'm thinking. Like it's kindling or something.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a smart worker.
I mean, contrary to popular belief, it's really hard to burn a body.
Yeah. Born in 1929 to prominent business couple Pedro and Socorro Bassa, Teresita Bassa. I love the name Teresita. It feels like Little Teresa, right? Wouldn't that be like the Little Teresa?
Okay. Yeah.
Left her home country of the Philippines after graduating from the University of Assumption in Manila in 1960. She immigrated to the United States to pursue music. She's a talented pianist and a devout Catholic. However, that passion for music was soon overshadowed by the desire to help people. She eventually ended up working as a respiratory therapist at Edgewater Hospital in Chicago. Excuse me. In the hours before her murder, Teresita went to work as usual, according to her friend Ruth Loeb. She reportedly left the hospital at 5:30 p.m. and spoke to Ruth for about 30 minutes before ending the conversation to receive a male guest, whose identity she never mentioned. Teresita was known to be quiet, intelligent, and well-liked, without any known enemies. This made the investigation into her murder very challenging. As we know, in 1977, DNA profiling didn't exist yet. Fingerprint databases were mostly manual, and blood typing of hair and blood typing or hair and saliva analysis could only provide general, not definitive, identification. In addition to forensic limitations, the murderer set the fire in an attempt to destroy evidence. Though the fire was quickly contained by firefighters, smoke, soot, and heat damaged the mattress, bedding, and some surrounding personal items, making it harder to collect trace evidence. Other than the mattress, the murder weapon, and the body, the only other piece of evidence collected from the scene was a small handwritten note. Ooh. The note read, "Get theater tickets for AS," like A, like initials AS, it looks like. I thought it was going to be a note from the killer. This is less exciting than I thought. And was reportedly found inside Teresina's apartment, though sources differ slightly on the exact location. Most accounts.
Could you imagine if the killer wrote that? For the police. Get the tickets!
We went through all the trouble of putting a mattress on top of the body, setting fire to it, and then wrote, hey, by the way, it was me.
It was a little reminder note for him that fell out of his pocket.
Ooh, that would have been fun. I was going to say maybe, but I don't think so. Most accounts indicate it was on or near her desk or dresser among her personal belongings. The autopsy revealed that Teresita had been stabbed, obviously, but had not been sexually assaulted. Obviously was in there. That wasn't shade.
Okay.
At the writing.
It's like, damn.
Police couldn't help but notice that the small one-bedroom apartment had clearly been ransacked. The apartment was a mess. The surfaces were clean, no dust, no dirt, but dressers were empty, cupboard doors were open, and things were strewn about. Several personal items also appeared to have been stolen from the apartment. Several pieces of Teresita's jewelry were missing, and her family later confirmed the items, including a pearl ring, had been stolen. In addition to jewelry, small personal valuables and cash were taken from the apartment. Investigators also noted that her television had been tampered with, yet no large appliances or furniture were missing, suggesting the theft was opportunistic and focused on easily portable valuables. I wonder how they tampered with her TV. Did they like just, it was they like just 70 something, so did they like move the antennas a little?
Do you remember what is it? The like VCR like had those like three cords. One was like for video, one was audio, one was audio. They just like switched them.
Infuriating. Investigators asked neighbors if they had seen anyone suspicious entering or exiting the building, or if they had heard anything unusual around the time of the murder. Although neighbors helped establish when the fire occurred, they were not able to provide any information that could point to a suspect. And with that, the investigation stalled. That is, until August 1977. Hold on. When did we start? February. That is, until August 1977, when a Dr. Chua contacted Chicago police with a new lead. Dr. Jose Chua immigrated to the United States with his wife, Remibius Remy Chua, from the Philippines. Both worked in the medical field at Edgewater Hospital in Chicago. Jose as a doctor and Remy as a respiratory therapist. That's what Teresita did. The couple had four children. They were hardworking and focused on advancing in their profession. Remy met Teresita at an orientation session at the hospital. They worked opposite shifts, so they really didn't know each other well. Similarly, Dr. Chua knew Teresita professionally, since they occasionally worked together, but not personally. Dr. Chua called the police 6 months after Teresita's murder to tell investigators that his wife, Remy, had been experiencing trance-like episodes and visions since about 2 weeks after Teresita's death. During these episodes, Remy appeared to be channeling Teresita's spirit. I think Remy killed her. Or Dr. Chua did. Imagine if he killed her and then she threw herself into Remy's body every once in a while to be like, I see you.
Stare at him.
Yeah. Threateningly. During the episodes, Remy spoke in Teresita's voice, speaking in Teresita's native tongue, Tagalog. Remy was familiar with the language, but rarely spoke it. She pleaded with Dr. Chua to go to the police. During one trance, Teresita said, "Doctor, I would like to ask for your help. The man who murdered me is still at large. I am Teresita Bata." That made me think of in Princess Bride when he was like, "I am Inigo Montoya."
You kill my father. My parents died.
Yeah. Over the next several weeks, Teresita told Dr. Chua that she knew who had killed her and knew very specific details about the murder and the stolen property. Dr. Chua told police he hadn't wanted to come forward, fearing disbelief. Fair. But the persistence and detail of the episodes convinced him he had to report it. What an awkward conversation to have with police. I think my wife is channeling a dead woman. It all started 2 weeks after Teresita was murdered. Rebby was sitting.
Tell her to stop.
Leave me alone.
Tell her to stop channeling it. Like, yeah. I don't, like, this seems like an easy solution.
Knock it off.
She'd been working long hours and intended on taking a short nap on the lounge sofa.
Oh, this is tight.
I was fighting that one for a while. It's just, like, when we get on here and start talking, I yawn a lot. Sounded a little disrespectful. It wasn't meant to be. She just laid
especially
down.
Not when you're the one talking.
Right. It happens when I, because on Wednesday nights I have class and it's the same thing. As soon as we're all on Zoom together, I'm yawning.
Start the paragraph over again.
Okay. It all started 2 weeks after Teresita was murdered. Remy was sitting in the hospital's lounge. She'd been working long hours and intended on taking a short nap on the lounge sofa. She just laid down and closed her eyes when Remy entered a trance-like state, seemingly possessed. She adopted Teresita's mannerisms and personality. Afterward, Remy reported that after laying down and closing her eyes, she felt her blood run cold. She had a sense that she wasn't alone, and fear rushed over her. She opened her eyes, and there was a woman standing before her. She was middle-aged and very pretty, with large, sad eyes. Remy immediately recognized the woman as being Teresita Bassa. She could tell, just from the expression on Teresita's face, she was not at rest. At first, Remy was simply disturbed and frightened by the experience, but she tried to brush it off as stress or exhaustion. However, the visions continued and intensified, eventually becoming the trance-like state. So she goes into these trances, and she adopts Teresita's mannerisms, but also sees Teresita?
So, it's not the same thing. She has visions, and then she goes into trance-like states.
Okay, so they're, like, separate from each other.
Yeah. So I think it's, like...
Okay.
If you were to believe in this sort of thing, Teresita's ghost appears, and then she, like, enters Remy's body.
The visions...
Like, in the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, how, like, Whoopi Goldberg can see him and talk to him, those are the visions. And then when Patrick Swayze goes inside Whoopi, and he's, like, able to, be her.
You do love that movie.
Do I?
I thought you did when you were young.
That's the vibe that I got just now when you were talking about it.
Oh.
You had it on DVD.
Yeah.
I had it on DVD?
Like, first of all.
Love that movie.
Lacey, this was a time when, like, I would have any movie on DVD.
Bailey said it like it was definitive proof.
I had so many
movies. I mean, it is.
You can't you couldn't go online and just watch a movie. If you ever wanted to see it again, you had to buy it.
So you obviously wanted to rewatch it.
I liked the scary ghost bit when they drag the man away. Shut up.
Right.
I didn't love the movie. I'm familiar with the movie.
You had it on
you
DVD.
Liked it enough to own it.
Lacey, you have so many Friends DVDs. Shut up.
I love them.
I was thinking recently that the reason why is because while I was working my 36 hours over the weekend and only responded to 5 calls, I started watching Criminal Minds again. And I was watching the newer episodes where...
Maybe rephrase that sentence. That you only had 5 calls to respond to. Because otherwise it makes it seem like you only wanted to respond to 5 out of the 100 you got.
Oh. I mean. Anyway, I was watching Aisha. It had Aisha Tyler. Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
And
Tyler.
I was watching her and I was like, I just have like this, like, in my heart, I don't like her. And I couldn't remember why. And I was thinking, I was like, is it because she, like, took over Whose Line? And maybe I feel, like, betrayed? And what I think it is because of what happened between her and Joey.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Where, like, she...
But then she, like, did the same thing to Ross.
Yeah. She felt like a wrecking ball through the friend group. And I think that she caused an issue between Joey and Ross, and I just thought it was.
But at the same time, that was when Ross, or that's when Rachel and Joey wanted to get together.
And that was a terrible time.
I mean, I'm not saying it was bad time, but they switched.
No, I'm saying it was a bad time. Rachel and Joey should never have pretended.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, it was a weird Hail Mary, I think the writers were throwing to drag things a little bit longer.
I think it was really nice that they had them kiss and they were just like, you know what, this doesn't, no.
This is gross.
Can I have a pillow? Tell us more about Teresita.
Dr. Chua witnessed these episodes. When Remy was channeling Teresita, her language, tone, and speech pattern would change. She became more formal when speaking to the doctor as well. When she spoke to Dr. Chua, Teresita was able to name her killer, explain why he was in her home, why he killed her, what he stole, and where to find the stolen property. And finally, after 6 months, Dr. Chua shared all that information with the police. I would be suspicious of Dr. Chua, except I don't know what his motive would be for going to the police with all this.
Why only after 6 months? Like, why after 6 months he decided to go to the police?
Well, he said at one point he was afraid that he wouldn't be believed, which I think is fair. I think if I was like, hey, Brandon keeps channeling this guy who was killed recently in our city. He's telling me who the murderer is. I don't think I would go to the cops right away. I think it would take a lot.
Also,
to get me to go to the cops without a drink.
It also mentions that her trance-like episodes intensify. So maybe at first it wasn't like too, like, yeah.
Yeah. But if I were the police, I would be suspicious of Dr. Chua and think that he did it and has come up with a crazy story to take attention away from himself. But also, I feel like it would be silly if 6 months have gone by and you're not, like, about to be arrested and you throw yourself in the investigation.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. I was scrolling for some reason.
Is it trying to cheat?
Oh. So, I said that she told Dr. Chua, like, all this information.
Yeah.
At first, detectives were very doubtful. A murder case being solved by a ghost was almost unheard of. Not unheard of, just almost.
Wait, almost though? Almost.
They, I looked into
it. I did one.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but... Oh, I feel bad that I can't remember her name. I could if I had a couple minutes. But, like, her best friend, like, had visions of her, and then she was like, I have to solve this case.
Mm-hmm.
And became, like, a private investigator so she could harass the police, like, professionally. Instead of running DNA testing. So. I also did another one where somebody had, like, visions, and then we were able to find the bodies of these kids that went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep talking.
Anyway. Yeah. The police didn't want to rely on something that sounded paranormal. But what caught their attention was that Teresita gave concrete, testable details, like the specific jewelry items stolen and who currently had them. So, since they had no other leads to go on, detectives decided to follow up on the lead provided by Teresita. This lead brought them to the home of Alan Showery. Alan Showery, or Showery, I'm going to say it different every time, was a 32-year-old respiratory technician working at Edgewater Hospital. Another one. He lived in Chicago with his pregnant girlfriend / common-law wife, Yvonne.
Lisa's like, the pieces are coming together.
So many respiratory technicians in Chicago.
It's
he had a reputation around the hospital as being personable but unreliable, not necessarily trustworthy, and struggling with finances.
That's not a good reputation you want.
No. He'd been doing odd jobs or favors for his co-workers as means to make extra money. Teresita told, just so you know, every time I've said Teresita since she's been dead, it's been in quote Teresita, because she's speaking through Remy. So Teresita / Remy. Told Dr. Chua, who then told investigators that Alan Showery had come over to her apartment to fix her television. Instead, he killed and robbed her. Teresita insisted that the jewelry stolen from her apartment had been given to Alan's girlfriend. While police admittedly were skeptical of supernatural claims, they considered there was no other explanation for information provided by Remy. The only clue they had from the crime scene was that cryptic note, "Get theater tickets for AS." It was worth looking into, at the very least. Detectives arrived at the apartment Yvonne shared with Alan.
Yeah, can we back up a second?
That kiss was not part of the note. Lisa was just doing it to her.
I feel like somebody walked by.
Get tickets.
It
XOXO.
I didn't realize when I did it. He walked past me like he wasn't going to blow me a kiss.
Right.
The nerve.
I didn't realize where I was in the sentence for it.
Is he going to the bathroom? Where's he headed?
Yeah.
Gross.
You know, I'm a little on your way to the potty.
Yeah.
We don't do that in my house.
Well, Elvis died on the toilet, so you need to give him a... just in case.
Yeah.
Did he die? Is Elvis really dead?
I don't think that's a conspiracy that people are...
We should ask.
It is.
Lou gave me
look it up. It is.
Probably dead.
Not going to. What are you doing?
Eating.
Not you. Eating. Look at him.
Show us.
Here's my laptop. There he is.
You did not leave enough room for him on your lap, so he's making do.
Tell us more.
Detectives arrived at the apartment Yvonne shared with Alan Showery, where she assured them that Alan had been home with her on the night of February 21st, 1977. But as they spoke, the officer spotted jewelry lying in plain view. When asked about it, Yvonne explained it had been a gift from Alan.
The loudest thump ever.
The moment investigators revealed that the jewelry matched those missing from Teresita Bassa's apartment.
I think we should start that sentence over, Lacey.
When asked about it, that's... Yvonne explained it had been a gift from Alan. I wouldn't just back an extra sentence.
I know, I realized, I'm sorry. This is a mess!
When asked about it, Yvonne explained it had been a gift from Alan. The moment investigators revealed that the pieces matched those missing from Teresita Bassa's apartment, her story began to crumble. She insisted she hadn't known the jewelry was stolen, let alone tied to a murder. The detective seized the items, and once Teresita's family confirmed they were hers, police finally had the evidence they needed to bring Alan Showery into custody. In custody, Alan initially denied involvement, but after more questioning and presented with the jewelry evidence, he finally confessed. He admitted he had gone to her apartment under the pretense of fixing her television, then stabbed her and set the fire to cover up the scene. In January 1977, Alan Showery's trial began. He pleaded not guilty to the charges of murder, arson, and armed robbery. Let me get through the paragraph before I keep interrupting with the same information. The prosecution...
Interrupting yourself?
Yeah. The prosecution presented his confession and the recovered jewelry as key evidence. Alan withdrew his confession, claiming it was coerced. Okay. The defense argued that without the confession, the case rested mostly on circumstantial evidence. The trial lasted about 2 weeks, ending with the jury deliberating for 2 days. But the jury couldn't reach a unanimous decision, so the trial ended in a hung jury and was declared a mistrial.
That's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. The prosecution retried the case only a few weeks later. However, before the second trial began in February 1979, Alan Showery accepted a plea deal. In accordance with the deal, he changed his plea to guilty. He admitted to murdering Teresita Bassa and committing arson. In exchange for his plea, the prosecution dropped the armed robbery charge. Alan was sentenced He was sentenced to 14 years for the murder and 4 years for the arson to be served concurrently at Stateville Correctional Center in Illinois. Why not, consecutive? It doesn't feel like a whole lot of time for murder, so... But 14 years and 4 years, back to back. Yeah. In July 1983, Alan Showery was paroled and released from prison. In 1983. That's less than 5 years for the murder of Teresita Bassa. That wasn't a funny sentence. Following his release, Showery maintained a low profile and reportedly lived a quiet life, avoiding media attention. Okay. Following Alan's arrest, Remy reportedly stopped having trance-like episodes. She and her husband continued to work and live in Chicago, prioritizing their privacy, though they did give the occasional interview to journalists about the case. Unsurprisingly, the case sparked intense skepticism. Critics suggested that Remy may have suspected Showery all along and used the ghost story as a safer way to relay the information. I mean, if she did, it worked. Yet, psychics, paranormal enthusiasts, and journalists have hailed it as one of the most famous examples of spirit-assisted crime-solving. Whatever the truth, it seems that at last, Teresita Bassa can rest in peace. I don't know if that's true, because her murderer got out in 5 years, and I would come right... I would take my ass right back to Remy. Or maybe... maybe not Remy. Maybe I'd go to, like, the judge or somebody. And then it's...
Or just... Yeah, just haunt the shit out of him.
I want other people to... I want them to know how displeased I am with them as the murder victim.
Well, I think the nice thing about being a ghost is you're able to visit whoever. True. Like, she could haunt Alan, take a break, go see the judge.
I think there's, like, some some things that say, like, they can haunt whoever. But other places are, like, you're tied to the place that you died.
I like the idea you can pop around.
That's
because otherwise it's so annoying.
So boring, too.
Yeah. Just, like, I don't know what it actually is, but what I would like it to be is what I'm going to imagine it is, and that you can hop around.
Just follow loved ones around?
Anywhere. Okay. Maybe I finally get to go to Budapest when I'm dead. I don't know.
I watched a movie recently. I forget what it was called, but it's the one where they had that, like, weird hand, and they held it.
Talk to me.
Yeah, it might be called Talk to Me.
It is.
Okay. And in that scenario, the ghost is kind of just in, like, a black void. And you only, like, only when you're, like, summoned are you allowed to see the light. And you have no idea how time passes or anything. And that sounds terrible. I don't like that.
Yeah, you're, like, awake and aware in the void.
Was it a scary movie?
It was, I guess.
Like a creepy movie?
I would say more of like a thriller than a horror.
Okay.
It was good though. I enjoyed it.
If it's Talk to Me, it's like gotten like, it's, I saw it when it came out. It's a very good movie.
It is Talk to Me.
Okay. Especially the ending. It's very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to circle back, there is a massive conspiracy theory that people believe that Elvis is still alive and he faked his death. So,
I don't
just saying.
Why would he do that?
To escape his life. Apparently his dad was really controlling or something.
Okay, but like, so if you were going to fake your own death,
yeah,
you want the story to be that you died on the toilet?
I don't know.
I mean, it has you convinced.
Okay. I also think... Okay. Touché. Do you think Remy made it up, or do you think that Teresita visited her?
I don't know. They said that she knew, like, the specific jewelry that was taken. Mm-hmm. I mean, they said that she knew that he had given it to his girlfriend. I feel like you could guess that if you suspected him of doing it, that he would then turn
around to his girlfriend. Here's what I'm going to say to that, Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
If Teresita was involved and Remy was just going off of what she knew from working at the hospital with him, she knew, possibly, that he was doing odd jobs to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it make more sense that he would steal the jewelry and then pawn it?
That's true. Plus, she said that she knew he was going there to fix the TV.
Yeah.
And I don't think she said that... she wasn't the one she talked to on the phone. Never mind. That was Ruth somebody. But yeah, she wouldn't necessarily have... just known. She wasn't like super friendly with Teresita. They just knew each other, so she wouldn't have known.
They worked opposite shifts. They never saw each other. So I
it does feel like there were a couple things that she knew that she shouldn't have known.
Yeah.
I'm always like a little skeptical of that stuff, but I keep an open mind too, because I don't know how she would know the specific jewelry was taken and things like that.
I do think that I agree with your earlier sentiment when you were just like, well, what's it matter?
Yeah,
she was totally right. So,
yeah.
Anything from Bailey?
I like to believe in stuff like this, so I'm gonna go with yes.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that was sinister.
We were sarcastic.
So we hope you keep listening.